You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
I mean, the things that we need, the things the Jets need, things that the Giants need, this draft has got really good. Really good players at those positions.
You know, I was listening to Gordon Damer for a little bit. I guess he was on at some point on Saturday. It might have been late afternoon on Saturday. And he was saying that he finds the Giants offseason to be more intriguing than the Jets offseason this year.
Well, I think because the quarterback's involved.
Right.
Is that what he said?
Right. But it's like, wow. I mean, I think both are incredibly intriguing. I mean, the Jets have to go so all in to make this as good of a team as they can, and the Giants are certainly intriguing because what are they going to do at quarterback?
Right, and they're one of the teams that keeps popping up as, you know, sniffing around to get up into the top three.
By the way, what was I going to say? I had something and I forgot it. Oh, yes.
Way.
Tomorrow is the last day that you can franchise a player. So we're going to have a lot more knowledge, and I don't think he's going to get franchised, but a lot more knowledge about Saquon by the end of tomorrow. I think 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, I would be. We heard some of the numbers. Who do we have on this week? We had Jordan last week talking about some of the numbers he was hearing in Indy, like $8 million. Why would they franchise him then?
Yeah, I don't need to go. What's the franchise for the running back now? 12?
His is 12. Yeah.
Yeah. So no, I don't think he's going to get franchised because now you're paying 50% more than you might have to.
Right. I think you let him hit free agency, see what he's worth. Kind of a maybe an agreement. Hey, you want to be a Giant? Make sure you bring whatever your best offer
right.
is back to us, and maybe we'll match it.
But here's the concern: is there a team that pays him? Because it only takes one. Is there a team that says, you know what, let's give him 3 for $34 million?
Yeah,
first 2 years
see,
guaranteed, 3 for $34 million.
Yeah, I could see a team like Houston doing that.
Right. Now, does he return to the Giants and say 3 for $34 million, 2 guaranteed at $22 million? I want to see what the Giants match it. What do the Giants do?
They'll say no.
Right, and then he moves on.
Yeah. But that would be kind of the ideal situation for him, especially if he's already kind of behind the scenes in touch with C.J. Stroud, is that when push comes to shove, the kind of season C.J. Stroud had is he goes to management and says, hey, let's get this done. I mean, Saquon Barkley in this offense with me, I'm not making $40 million a year. Let's spend some of this. Let's get him.
I'm so torn at what I think they're going to do. Like, I thought he was going to be gone, and then Ian O'Connor, who I tremendously respect, says, no, the Giants are going to keep him. I'm being honest with you, I have no idea what's going to happen here.
I don't think Saquon knows yet.
What do you think he wants?
I think Saquon in a perfect world will want to be a Giant.
But does he take less money to stay with the Giants?
It depends on how much less.
Does he take $2 million a year less to stay with the Giants?
No. No, I think the push and pull that's going on with him is he wants to be a forever Giant. So the question I asked you last week was, if he stays, if this deal gets done with the Giants, will he be, and he's good and healthy, I'm not saying they got to win a championship because they're not close to winning a Super Bowl, but he's just really good for the next 3 years. Is he a Ring of Honor guy?
Yes.
Okay.
If Saquon spends the next 3 years with the Giants and is primarily healthy and gives you 1,000-yard rushing seasons and 500-yard receiving seasons and scores 13 touchdowns, and spends his entire career with the Giants and retires in, say, 4 years, having spent 10 years with the Giants, I think certainly he's a Ring of Honor guy.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's going to be part of his decision-making because there's really three things that you look for.
He's not going to win here now.
Right. Well, that's what I'm going to say. So it's money, winning, and comfortability.
Right.
And
So the winning is not here. The winning would clearly be,
and the money's probably not
more advanced
here
in Houston.
And the money might not be
And
here.
The money's not here.
And the lack of, I mean, and the way they've treated him, I mean, I don't think he really loves. He hasn't been a priority for them.
But it's clear that he loves being here and he loves being in the spotlight of New York.
Right. And so to a certain point, I mean, does someone, you know, someone grab him, pull him aside, and they're like, you're not going to win here. They haven't prioritized you here. I get you want to be a forever Giant, but, I mean, what are we doing? You're going to make more money with a better chance to win somewhere
right.
else.
And it's not like you go to Houston and you're in. I mean, you can't go anywhere in the NFL now and be great and be irrelevant. You just, you can't. The sport is just way too popular. You can go to Green Bay and be a huge star. You can go to, I mean, you pick the city, right? You can go anywhere and be a huge star because that's how popular the NFL, in fact, is. So he goes to Houston, and look what CJ Stroud is now. It's not New York levels, but you go to Houston, you're great. You play meaningful football, you're going to be very relevant.
Right, but there's, I mean, in other places, there's a different level you have to get to be a star. I think it's easier. I think it's easier in New York. Like for example, I think the best example that I would use in the would be Dame Lillard. Could you imagine if Dame Lillard gave you the kind of production he was giving you in Portland, and this was the, RJ, correct me if I'm wrong, this was Dame's first year ever as a starter in the All-Star game? I think this was his first year as a starter.
Right.
You know how many times he would have been a starter in the NBA All-Star game if he was playing, doing all that for the Knicks?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the NBA is a little different, though. I mean, I think you can be in any place in the NFL, and I mean, because everyone watches every single game.
Yeah, but I think there's something to be said about being a star in New York for the doors that are open. With the people that you're around, the people
I
that
think,
are Giants
I think
fans.
So, I think so too. But I just like it, it's not like you fall off the map if you go to Houston or Detroit or anywhere like that. You can
I think you can still
be a star.
Right, no, he's a star. He's not gonna be the face of the franchise like he is with the Giants. That's CJ Stroud is the face of the franchise. Like he's already made all the connections in New York. Like he's established himself in New York. I just mean like if you get drafted by a team in New York.
It's different.
It's different.
I agree with that. But I think that this league is so the enormity of this league and the superstardom all around in other cities is possible. So yes, if he stays in New York, is his star a little bit brighter? Of course. But if he goes to Houston and he's really good, I mean, and you know what? The way people play fantasy football, everyone is relevant. There is no irrelevant team.
Yeah,
right
but
now.
I'm not right. I think all that stuff is true. What I'm talking about also is just the other stuff that you don't necessarily see that you're now all of a sudden these doors are opened when you're in New York. I'm not talking about like I'm not just talking like commercials and stuff like that. I'm talking about all these business opportunities that you get with these. With people that otherwise you wouldn't have an opportunity to be around all the time.
Yeah, the Madison Avenue stuff?
Yeah, well, yeah, like just, I mean, all sorts of stuff, investment stuff. There are so many business opportunities that these guys get the opportunity to be a part of because of who they are in New York.
I want to hear from Mike Tenenbaum and Louis Riddick in a moment. You remember when Carl called on, I guess it was Friday, and it was so nasty and mean to me?
Yeah, was this the... This
well, he brought my wife into the conversation.
Oh, yep, yep.
Carl would like to apologize, and I'm here because I'm a big guy. I would like
to... Are you a floozy?
...bring you on and allow you to apologize, Carl. Hi, Carl.
Say, go, New York, go, New York, go. Yes, I would like to apologize to Sherry. She just got caught in the crossfire, yep. And you attacked my girl first. Don't you get that twisted.
Listen, on my call screener, it says you want to apologize to me. So go ahead.
I just did.
You apologized to my wife. Yeah.
Yes, of course. Because I did not mean anything personal to her, and she's a great woman. But let me get to the Knicks. Great win, guys. Rick, when Josh Hart hit that three late in the fourth, and then he touched Mitchell's chain. Oh, my God. No, I love them. But, I wanted to ask you guys, fully healthy, what is your starting five? I think it looks like a JB, Hart.
No.
I would start Bojan.
No. When healthy, what are you, nuts? It's going to be it's going to be JB, it's going to be Dante, it's going to be Julius, OG, and Hartenstein.
Right, unless okay, Mitchell Robinson comes back and you want to make him your starter.
Right, the five is, I think Tibbs is going to go with Hardy when, you know, crunch time in the playoffs. But you would start DiVincenzo over Hart?
Yeah,
I think Hart's
a
bring
player.
Him off the bench guy, yeah.
Yeah. No, honestly,
Carl, we love you.
We've seen our starting five.
You totally lost me with Bogdanovich in the starting lineup.
Yeah. At one point, Clyde called him Bojan last night.
Yeah. Well Pito called him, what did he call him?
What was going on with Pito?
Bogey.
Bogey, I like Bogey. What was going on with Pito's microphone the whole game? At first when I heard it, I'm like, are they doing this from New York? It sounded like they weren't actually in Cleveland.
They were courtside, actually.
They were courtside.
The microphone did not sound good originally.
I mean, you know what? The beauty of this show is you have the producer of the next broadcast. What, do you have any idea what's going on with
not
that?
Not the TV. I know, but you're in the know. I can't tell you what's going on the TV side. I've got the radio side to worry about.
He had Giannone McNutt.
That's right.
But he's in the know. So you don't know what was with his microphone last night?
Not at all. In fact, before Carl said anything there, I had no idea anything was wrong with Bill's mic.
Carl had a terrible take.
How about Carl giving Dave Rothenberg the Dave Rothenberg apology?
You had to know that was coming.
I think RJ set that up. I think RJ knew it was going to be contentious. Yeah, I think so.
No.
I think RJ, you knew it was what you were setting that up for, right?
I don't even think he seemed apologetic. He was apologetic. Where we got lost was he jumps on, want to say sorry. I think he was expecting you then to immediately volley back. You know what? This mystery woman that is now in your life that leaves your apartment at 6 a.m., I'm sorry I also called her a floozy, and that just wasn't coming.
No, that was never going to happen. My intent, I didn't call him to say, I'd like to apologize to you, Carl.
See, I think a lot of people there, just to bury the hatchet, would be like, you know what? I also overstepped. But the thing is, when you deal with Dave, everything is an isolated event. That happened. He feels that way still. You can apologize to him, and that will be the end of the conversation.
If I felt I did anything wrong, I would apologize to him.
You called his girlfriend a floozy. Right?
Well, right. I mean, she was sneaking out with her shoes in hand at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. Well, I don't know if he got that in depth. I don't know if she was sneaking out with her shoes in hand, but
yeah,
you told him that he promotes the walk of shame, is what you said to him.
I called her a trollop, too. Ugh.
So instead of apologizing, we are now reliving it.
Yes, that's what we like to do.
We don't have to.
You are encouraging the walk of shame.
Oh, Friday was a show. Friday really was a show.
Go back with your little floozy, Carl. How about that?
Poor Carl.
Why poor Carl?
Because he calls to ask for advice. He calls to celebrate.
And we're here to give advice.
Big Knicks win. Had relations he wanted to call about.
He went to Bogdanovich in the starting lineup.
Yeah, that was a misstep.
I mean, what does he want? Burks in there too?
No, let's not pile on Carl. I see what you're doing here. Let's not pile on.
What do you mean?
Because you're throwing Burks in the starting lineup. Now you're just being a jerk.
Well, no, it was a bad take. Bogdanovich in the starting lineup is nonsense.
Bogey still does not look overly comfortable shooting threes right now.
He played well last night. Hit some big shots though.
Yeah, it wasn't from the 3-point line though.
No. No.
He had 20. Solid.
I mean, listen, they need guys that can score with no Brunson, and he's certainly one of those guys. So Mike Tannenbaum.
Great tan, by the way. Holy.
Is that a natural? Is he in Indianapolis?
I think that's some makeup.
So he went into the makeup room and said, paint the tan on me?
I'm looking at Mike T right now on GetUp, and he looks totally different.
Yeah, right. They just went heavy. Sometimes they get heavy-handed. Maybe he told the lady
when
I want
overly made up isn't it doesn't look great.
He looked like A-Rod at that basketball game.
Oh my!
Look at you. By the way, this is Raymond.
I don't know whose fault that is, but yeah.
He wanted. Maybe he said to them, "Hey, give me what would you like? Give me vacation, Mike. I want a little vacation."
That's
Mike.
Right.
And that's what he got.
Give me the A-Rod. Anyhow, Mike Tannenbaum. You know what he thinks? Obviously, he listens to the show because he's stealing my hot takes. He thinks the Giants should take J.J. McCarthy at 6.
He's a better quarterback than Daniel Jones, in my opinion. I went to a lot of their practices and games over the last couple of years, and he is a great athlete. He plays best at the most important moments, and I think he's a guy that's going to be a better pro than he was in college. And, you know, one of the challenges you have when you're making these evaluations is you say, like, well, if J.J. McCarthy was in this offense or that offense, what would it look like? Or let's just, for a fun discussion, say, you know, if Jaden Daniels was a Michigan Wolverine and those two guys switched, what would that look like? You know, they're still both great players, but I think their statistics would be meaningfully different.
How about that? He's got the Giants taking McCarthy, thinks they should take him at 6.
Well, here's the interesting thing, and listen, this is all speculation. This is all reports,
and we're still 7 weeks away from the draft,
right? I mean, we haven't seen his pro day, all his visits, and everything else. Why would the Giants be one of the teams that's rumored to try to get to the top, into the top three, if they had their sights set on J.J. McCarthy?
Right, they wouldn't. But who knows? I mean, Rick, I'm sure there's smoke screens.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying, though. So, I mean, the real interesting thing would be if they don't move and New England takes Marvin Harrison Jr., and now the Giants sitting at six have the have Drake May and J.J. McCarthy sitting there.
Well, they take? Well, I don't know. Do they have them rated the same?
No, no. I'm just asking. I don't know.
Right. I mean, if they have them rated the same, you're probably. But then you have to have the concern of do teams move up to four in Arizona and five in the Chargers, and now you're left holding the bag at six.
Right. So you want to have the opportunity to get at least one of those guys at three.
I would. You know what? It was a big domino is Kirk Cousins. Where's he going to wind up? Because it sounds like it's not a surefire thing. He's going to be back in Minnesota.
Would you be okay with the Giants giving up whatever it took to get the three to draft J.J. McCarthy?
Now you got McCarthy going three?
No, I'm just saying. Well, because
I would. Yes. If the Giants have, and I've said this and I will not stray from this, if they have conviction for a quarterback, I will do whatever it takes to get that quarterback. If they love McCarthy and they think he's going to be a stud in the next level, I trust Shane. I trust Dable. Dable's done great work with every quarterback he's been with. Yes, I would. I'd say move up, get that guy, and let's go.
What it actually feels like, we haven't seen it, hasn't happened yet, but what it feels like was the whole conversation surrounding when the Niners traded up. And all the speculation was that Kyle Shanahan wanted Mac Jones. And everyone's like, well, why would you ever trade up and give up what you just gave up to get the three to take Mac Jones of all people? And they didn't. They ended up going with Trey Lance, and that didn't work out either. But I don't know. To go from where J.J. McCarthy was to all of a sudden the mock scene I'm at 12 to now trade whatever it took to get up to three to take.
If you love him, you wouldn't do it, though?
I mean, listen, if I'm Brian Dable, like me, Rick DiPietro, or me as Brian Dable?
I mean, I don't know.
Well, I think it's two different answers because me as Brian Dable, knowing that whatever happens here or if I don't get a quarterback, whatever happens with Daniel Jones will dictate whether or not I have a job, then yeah, if I have conviction, I've met the kid, I've been around the kid, I don't get that opportunity and I say he's worth it, then yeah, I'm going to do it. But just, you know, Rick DiPietro, watching him at Michigan, watching him at the Combine, where he wasn't overly impressive throwing the football, and I know it's different because, you know, he's not used to receivers and everything else, to go from 6-3 to draft J.J. McCarthy, it would feel like a lot, but I don't get an opportunity. It's not my job, and I don't get the opportunity to be around these kids, meet them and everything else. Because you know how I feel about that stuff. I'm like, I get the whole talent stuff, but there is more. There are a lot of important things that this kid has to have outside of just the, you know, arm talent and ability to make
absolutely
throws.
Absolutely. And New York is a tough place to play. All I'd say is if you have conviction and you love a guy, I mean, you're going to get one chance at a quarterback, right? If you're lucky. I mean, if they don't take it this year and they have a bad season, you could get no chances at your own quarterback. You're going to get one chance at a quarterback. You got to hit a home run. If you don't, you're going to be looking for work.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Come on.
Live a life after love.
You're so good. What a talent. If Cher ever can't make a show, RJ, don't you think they call up Rick and be like, listen, so the audience doesn't know what's happening, you fill in for Cher?
He's got it down.
It's pretty good.
It is good.
I think there's a real chance she loses her voice. She goes on stage and maybe I'm the one singing.
Yeah, like a Milli Vanilli kind of situation.
Right. Just have her lip sync.
She lip syncs and you, from behind the scenes,
right.
you just belt out the song.
Oh, I would be so into it too. I'd need a lot of room though because I really get into my performance.
Do you need to move your arms?
Arms, everything.
Uh-huh.
I really emote. Kind of like you with the fast hands, you know?
Yeah. You don't have hands the way mine.
Not like that.
No.
No, not like that. Tongue for hands, though.
We know about that.
I'll tell you what. Here's
this trouble last week.
This is not a hot take, but yeah. Just after
this is,
watching.
This is not your nugget, is it?
No, this is not my nugget. This is, I told you, it's non-sports related, show related, the nugget. Sports related, Michael Penix is going to end up being a first rounder.
You think so? You believe five first round quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think that the fact that his medical came back as good as it did, plus when you watch him throw a football, it's lights out.
When did they start having the quarterbacks throw the football hard against like a
velocity test? This
yeah.
is the first time I've seen it.
So there's a new thing?
I think so. I haven't seen this. The first time I've seen him do that.
And Penix was what, 62 miles an hour?
I think yeah. Him and Milton. Milton's got a cannon.
Right. And he's a big boy, Milton. I think he's over 6'5".
Cannon. Dude, yeah. the level, of, just so all the people that call in when guys get hurt, like, oh, how come athletes nowadays are injured all the time? Watch the combine, how explosive, how crazy. Like, your body's not meant to be as explosive
so
and as big.
Big and fast and physical. I'm never wowed that these guys get injured, ever.
No, like the amount of torque and strain they're putting on their tendons and their joints, you're not supposed to be like, able to be that explosive, jumping 41 inches, guys like broad jumping 11 feet. It's wild.
Lewis Riddick, he's great, ESPN, of course, says J.J. McCarthy, he's going to be going top 10.
Possible top 6, top 7 consideration in this draft, 8 at the latest. That's what people are telling me. They said, forget it. He's not slipping out of the top 10. But I think because of his throwing at the combine in terms of his accuracy, the people who are detractors, when you're talking about him being a polarizing figure, they're going to point to that. They're going to point to, well, at the combine, he didn't light it up like a C.J. Stroud did. During the regular season, he wasn't a guy who was like Stroud or Bryce Young, or he wasn't a guy, you know, who had the kind of film like Jaden Daniels had this year at LSU. So how the heck can you say that he's a top 10 player? I'm just telling you, there are people who think if you put him in those same kind of offenses and put the same kind of responsibility on his shoulders and let him sling it all over the yard, he is uniquely equipped to handle it.
So he's going to be the most polarizing player in the draft this year.
Yeah, because you haven't seen him carry a team yet because
right.
he wasn't asked.
Because he hasn't needed to. But you've seen him in big spots, and you've
right.
seen him play his best football in the biggest moments, and that's got to count for something.
He's a winner. Seems like he's a good leader, good athlete.
Right.
Yeah,
does it not matter to you at all that Jim Harbaugh looks at him and says, I would love to have that kid as my quarterback?
Of course it would. Listen, of course it would, but you're also talking about a group of people that you know draft Alabama players. They'll call Nick frickin' Saban about it. Saban's like, yeah, the only one that calls me is Belichick. I mean, there's not a lot of smart. You give these guys too much credit sometimes. What's funny is that the people that do love J.J. McCarthy and are convinced because they've seen his tape, they know the kid, whatever it is, they were probably hoping he stunk at the combine.
Right, yeah, so that would help their chances.
Yeah, right. Don't throw the ball well.
Right.
We
if you love me, love him. Like if you love him. And he's bad throwing the football at the combine. I don't think he was bad. He was okay. Do you not love him anymore?
No, because you're more focused on, what really matters. And you'll see him in his pro day. I'm telling dude, for me, if I was doing this job and I was selecting these kids, I would tape would be number one. And then I would make sure I did all my due diligence on who he is as a person, who he is as a leader, how hard he works, how much, you know, how willing he is to grind and get better. It can't be one of these things where the kid just shows up and, like, he's got it all figured out. Well, here.
You're never going to have it all figured out. You know what else is, like, a red flag for teams that, and I've heard a lot talk about this, well, he only threw the ball once in the second half against Penn State. Well, that's not his fault. That they said, we can win this game without throwing the football. That's what Harbaugh decided. I don't think it's Harbaugh saying, I don't trust you. There's no reason to throw the football in this situation.
No, I'm dude. I'm all set too with the people like that. It's nasty to call someone a game manager. Like, no, I mean, part of being a great quarterback is managing the game appropriately. I like the fact that he's unselfish and he doesn't need to, you know, want to run the ball? We'll run the ball. Want me to throw the ball? I'll throw the ball. It doesn't matter. It's like when I listen to Jalen Brunson talk. I say he answered some question the other day about being 1A or 1B. He's like, I haven't won anything yet. Like, I'm trying to win a championship. If it means I'm 1A or what, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
I just want to win.
You know what I'd like right now?
What would you like right now? A massage.
I would love a massage.
Dry socks.
No, my socks are dry now.
Galoshes.
I don't want to wear a galosh. I think you put on a galosh and you now have crossed the pantheon that you're an old person.
Alex to walk the dogs for you.
That would be nice. No, I would like you to give us the show nugget that you have been dangling all show long.
All right. So question. Uh-huh. Question for the entirety of the show.
Yes.
Our most hated building.
Empire State.
Empire State Building.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys know? So, we've had sports talk. We're going to have some crying, I think, later with this email.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to give you some more knowledge. We have the Jones Fracture knowledge. Here's some Empire State Building knowledge.
Dr. Robert Jones, early
not sure if you knew this or not. The Empire State Building's top of the Empire State Building,
mm-hmm.
was initially planned to be a docking station for airships in the late 1920s.
Really?
Yep. So, investors in the building believed that airships would soon come across for cross-Atlantic travel, would dock up at the top of the building, and then passengers could walk into the building's top floor, and then boom, elevator down to Manhattan.
It seems like there's a lot of bright people that plan this kind of stuff. It doesn't seem like that was the smartest plan ever, though.
You're right, because the real problem is that engineers couldn't figure out how to safely dock the airships.
Right.
And then it was too risky because of the wind and everything else. There was a private blimp that did dock for 3 minutes in 1931, but that caused severe traffic jams below.
Why? Because people were just up, like looking up at the.
Yeah, because there was probably a lot of people that didn't realize that they were going to use it as a docking station. And then just see a blimp attached to the Empire State Building, What the hell is happening right now?
That's good knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, I'm surprised with so many bright people walking around the earth that they thought that this was, let's use a, I mean, you have a pointed needle coming out of the top of the thing.
It was a docking station.
Let's use it as a docking station. But they never used it.
No.
Outside of the one time.
The one time, that's it.
Yeah. Let's go to Julian in Manhattan. Hi, Julian.
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Good.
I was having a good day yesterday. You know, it was beautiful weather. The day was going good.
It really was gorgeous yesterday.
Oh, absolutely. And then in the first minute of the game, not what you want. Absolutely not what you want. I mean, I know we got, Tibbs said it was good news after the game. It was a contusion or something. The x-rays came back negative, which is all right. It's great. But I don't know. It was just a win that just deflated, you know what I mean, deflated you. Coach Tibbs did great coaching the team, everybody. You know what I mean? Just had to come back in. But, you know, did you guys hear him? He was like at the beginning of the game, no, you guys are all right. You know what I mean? Let's just keep playing.
Yeah, but I don't think it's the win.
Yeah,
the
but you
win,
make a miss.
The win didn't deflate anything. I mean,
no, absolutely
couple,
not. It was a great win.
When you couple the win with the fact that, I mean, you got great news about Jalen Brunson after the game with the x-rays being negative and everything else.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's that you feel good after that. It was great news at the end of the game. You know what I mean? But just, man, these Knicks, man, they're just a team of absolute dogs. I mean, you got Josh Hart with the triple-double. I mean, I don't know if anybody noticed, Isaiah Hartenstein also had like 7, 8, and 8. You know what I mean? Like this.
No, Julian, how dare you? We notice everything. Rick brought it up earlier in the game. And thanks for the call. We notice. Nothing goes by our eyes. We see everything that's happening.
No, in a spot like that, too, guys are going to, I mean, we talk about it all the time. Guys go down, guys got to step up. You lose your guy 47 seconds into the game.
You know, it was a big play, too, was when they challenged the foul on Hartenstein. We got hammered in the eye socket.
Right in the eye socket, yeah.
And they overturned it and went to a jump ball. So, you know, I think they were up 5 at that time, and it would have been potentially cut to 3. But they won the challenge, and it was another win for Thibodeau and the Knicks.
It doesn't matter with this team, man. Punchy in the face, nose, doesn't matter. We'll find a way.
That eye swelled up quick.
Yeah, I had the red mark right under it.
Right under it.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Hello from Melbourne, Australia. It's pronounced Melbourne, by the way, not Melbourne. That really annoys us when people say it wrong. I stumbled onto your show, The Four Amazing Individuals, by accident on a honeymoon I was never supposed to take last February. Let me explain. You interested at all, by the way, guys? Has this piqued your interest?
Yes.
Okay. I started dating my now wife in 2011. When it began, I told her that marriage was not on the table. It was and is an expensive piece of paper in my eyes. In 2017, I proposed, but again, with the caveat that marriage off the table, but my everlasting commitment was to her and her only. In 2018, I was diagnosed with a rare brain tumor. So rare that there were only 17 people in all of Australia with it. To compound the situation, it was in a terrible position, resting on my facial and balance nerves, as well as pressurizing my brain. Have I hooked you in?
Yes.
RJ, you in?
Yeah, of course.
Raymond, you in?
Yeah.
I had the surgery in 2021 to remove most of the tumor. To access it, the surgeons had to sever the balance nerve and remove my hearing bones in order to protect the facial nerve in my brain. Long story short, I am now deaf on the right-hand side of my head, slightly blind in my right eye, but if they had nicked the facial nerve, my moneymaker would have looked like an uncooked pizza. My recovery was meant to be 7 days in the hospital, 6 months at least before I could contemplate work. I had to learn how to walk again as I had no balance nerve to support me. I also developed a tic in my speech post-surgery. I work in a call center. I was out of the hospital 2 days, and 10 weeks later, through sheer pig-headedness, I was back at work, standing upright and speaking normally. My surgeon called me a miracle. There's a thesis out there somewhere of my recovery and how I went about it. My golf handicap also went from 18 to 8 in 12 months. Now, RJ, at this point, you're probably thinking to yourself, how are we involved in this, right?
I am thinking that.
I didn't tell my wife this, but I vowed that if I survived the surgery, it was 1 in 10 chance I was going to die right there on the table, I would marry her. In 2022, I did just that. Happiest day of my life. Come February 2023, we had just flown in from Orlando, the first leg of a six-week honeymoon in the USA and Canada. At 7 o'clock in the morning, my wife had booked us a private car to get to the hotel from Newark. He was a surly Yankees fan who disliked me greatly when I said they were one injury away from a terrible season. I was listening to you lunatics yell at each other about who had the better upside in 2023, the Mets or the Yankees. And from that moment on, I was hooked. The 1.5 hour grind in New York traffic slipped by as I listened to the four of you early that morning, and I was in love. I have no horses in the New York sports arena, and I have no reason to listen to you now as I follow the Cubs, T-Wolves, Predators, and the Dallas team since 1989. But every day on my way to and from work, I listen to you four. You make me laugh. You make me laugh out loud. You make me laugh in public. I write this to say thank you, not so much for the awesome work that you do, and it is awesome because we have nothing close to you guys in Melbourne, but because you honestly remind me how lucky I am to still be here. If I didn't make that vow, I would never have heard you, and my hour-plus journeys to and from work would be made up of PTI and then probably First Draft or Buster only. Great in their own right, not comparable. I came back from America with your show in hand. Unfortunately, guys, the tumor is starting to grow back, and I'll have a lot of time on my hands soon to listen to you often again as I wait in medical rooms. But a final miracle happened from that vow. I'm going to be a father for the first time ever. The chance of conception was low after surgery, and we're ultimately so blessed. Sorry, I know this was long. I just felt the need to reach out and say thank you for simply being yourselves. You're all a genuine pleasure to listen to. On delay via the pod because of the time difference. Stick a pin in Melbourne if you didn't already have one, and please start watching Australian football because it's brilliant. Thank you again if you read this. Peace always, Danny in Australia.
Wow. How's that? Wow.
That's a lot to unpack, isn't it?
Wow. That's a lot to unpack.
That's a beautiful email.
It's a beautiful email. I mean, it pretty much has everything in that email.
You can hear in Rick's voice, like you don't know what to say.
Well, no, I wasn't expecting the end of the email, that his tumor came back.
His tumor came back. I guess they're going to obviously have to treat it again. But, you know, he's going to have a baby. He's married. And he through all of it, our show has, you know, been a constant source of, I guess, of support. And that's amazing that we can provide that.
Yeah, I don't even know if amazing is the right word. I mean, it doesn't seem... I don't know what we seem does so. I mean, what we do seems so.
Yeah, but here's what you don't realize: it's not.
Well, clearly, I mean, when you get emails like that, I mean, it's a perspective of what we do. But wow,
you sound very deflated. I wasn't trying to like take you down.
No,
I just thought it was
no. I know you weren't trying to take me down. It's just, I mean, it's such a great story. I mean, it's the beginning of it is, you know, obviously he has all the things he had to go through to get the tumor out, and you know the way he, you know, was able to recover and back to work and his golf game, and, you know, ends up marrying the woman of his dreams. And they go on a six week honeymoon where he finds us. And then, you know, finally he's going to have, you know, he's going to have a baby. And now the tumor comes back. It's a lot to process.
It's a lot to process. But you know, what's amazing is that I maybe I'm wrong. I think we go on vacation to Australia. We get into a cab. We hear sports radio. I'm not bringing that show back home with me. I'm just not.
No.
And the fact that he has brought us back home and made us a part of his life is just amazing. I got a text from someone at the station. What a story. I'm actually crying.
Wow.
And that's that story, no?
Yeah. I mean, that's an amazing story. I just like you. Yeah, that's, again, I mean, there's a lot to take in, but it's, you're right. I mean, there's so many places that we've gone. I've gone, you've gone, Ray and RJ have gone, where, you know, cab, Uber, whatever it is, you're listening to something. My thoughts not like, oh, hey, I'm going to make sure when I go home, I'm going to, what is this so I can listen to it at home?
I would never do that. Like, no. I might get into a cab, an Uber, or whatever, and be like, boy, that's good stuff. That was entertaining, but I would leave it there.
Yeah, I'm not
bringing probably, that home and making it part of my daily routine.
No. No. Well, Danny, so you know, you're listening to the podcast, what are you listening to? We're thinking about you, and I mean, thoughts and prayers.
Absolutely. And check in and let us know how things are going consistently. RJ, that was worthy of reading on the air, wasn't it?
Absolutely. I think you can tell how much it means when people who talk for a living don't have a response that can properly articulate the words to show our gratification is, I guess, what comes to mind. But like Dave said, you'll hear this eventually. Keep in touch. And I would like to kind of stay abreast of what's going on in this story.
And you know, Rick, and I always thought this too, and I know you've said this a million times, of what we do is like, we don't have an impact, right? But how many times have I read emails or you've talked to people? We do, man. People are, you know, to a lesser degree than this story, obviously, but they're tired. They're in a bad mood. They're miserable. We make them laugh. We make them think. We make them, like, have, you know, emote something. Like, it matters what we do. And I think we have to accept that responsibility. What we do matters to people. And I think that's really super cool.
I think it's more than cool. Yeah, we're an escape. And I think, I mean, me especially, like, I understand the importance of how, you know, how every day, I mean, there are so many things that people have going on. Like, it's like being an adult is tough, man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of stress, a lot of worries, worried about your kids, everything else. So to have an outlet where you can kind of, for a half hour, if you want to listen to, well, however much of the show you listen to, you kind of have an escape from that. You can laugh, learn some sports. I mean, that's, if we can provide that for you, then that's awesome.
I'm surprised because it was a long email. Like I mentioned, 11 paragraphs. I'm surprised he didn't say at any point that I was his favorite of the four of us, but he seems like a nice gentleman anyway.
He seems like a great guy.
Seems like a great guy.
I'm
but
a fighter.
But honestly, like if he's listening, maybe he can send an email back. Danny, who do you like the best? I'd be interested to know that.
Of course you would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Right?
The story's not good enough.
I think it's a great story, but it's not always about him. I mean, how about us? Of the four of us, which one really moves the needle the most for Danny? No?
You're a bad guy.
How am I a bad guy?
You're a bad guy. Because, I mean, why can't he just like all of us?
Because you can't like four people the same.
Maybe he does.
It's not possible.
All right.
Raymond, did that really... I mean, you're going to think about your life a little differently today, aren't you?
I think a lot of things differently after that.
Why don't you tell us about your weekend then?
I can tell you later.
No.
This is what you've done.
What have I done?
This isn't about me. Danny just sent a wonderful, heartfelt,
beautiful,
great email. I've got so much to take from that, and I'm really pulling for the guy. I hope that we hear more from him as it continues.
But I think it would buoy his day if you told us what you did this weekend.
Maybe I'll tell him. Danny, email me anytime, buddy.
All right. You know what? I'll give you his email. Why don't you reach out to Danny?
Danny in Melbourne. I got to make sure I say that properly. All right. I'm going to forget.
Let's break. We'll come back, and we'll get into the New York Knicks. 1-800-919-3776. That was, I think, unequivocally the win of the year. And hopefully they didn't take a loss away from the win. We'll get to it. 98.7 ESPN. And now a word from TruGreen. Are you ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank? TruGreen has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 5 decades. That's 50 years to you and me. Visit TruGreen.com today and discover the easiest and most affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn, fully guaranteed. Plus, enjoy TruGreen's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TruGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TruGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.